So in this week's parasha, we have a extraordinary parasha, the story of Avraham Avinu davening first time. Now, if you think about that idea that Avraham Avinu should daven first time, it's like the arch enemy of Avraham Avinu is time. Avraham Avinu is all about this. Time is all about the opposite. Nabi Yeshaya says that when Klaiso didn't do tzedakah, that was the chata of storm your sister. So the Ramban says that the Iker, we get the story of them that they were cruel, we get the story of them that they were, you know, they wanted to take the men, they wanted to take the women, you know. We don't hear that the issue was a lack of tzedakah, but Chazal said that was a lack of, they had no interest in helping somebody else. The Ramban says that more than that, they lived in extremely fertile ground, like the pasuk says. Lloyd saw it was Kegan Hashem, right? It was extremely fertile land. They didn't want any visitors because they felt that they were going to, in some way, any person who comes and asks for a stalker, wow, is going to take away from all of their largesse that they have, everything that they have. So they created a cruel society as a way to discourage visitors. So Romavino is living like down the block, and his whole raison d'etre is visitors, and they're the exact opposite, they're the other end of the spectrum. The Russian says, you know, I'm going to destroy them. Everyone says, no, please don't. I mean, most people say, yes, Baruch Hashem, you know, like, you know, I mean, like, you know, finally we get rid of these guys, you know, like, you know. And Romavino doesn't do that. Romavino davened. The Chazal say that he davened. He went above and beyond. Like he put himself in Sakanas Nefashis. To go and argue with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and fight with him, right, is an extraordinary thing. That this idea he was endangering his own life to save Stoy. Now, the Maromino davened, so the supporter says that his tefillah, that the Russian was Maramas to him, that if there are tzdikim there, the Russian would save the city, because it means that then there's a chance for tshuva. And it fits very nicely, because Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz has a ha'ora that Romino Davins, Yesh Kamishim Tzadikim B'Socha Ir. What's the phrase B'Socha Ir? Yesh Kamishim Tzadikim B'Ir. Says, if there's 50 tzadikim, or 40 tzadikim, you know, 30, that are, they're in the area, but they're keeping to themselves, there's no chance for that area to do tshuva. And then Betzim Storm has forfeited its right to exist, but the potential for tshuva is going to save them. So if there's tzaddikim b'sochei ir, Rebbe Shneibshin says, that means they're out in amongst the people, they feel comfortable so they can go out and meet and interface with the people. So then the chance, the interface between the tzaddikim and the other people will bring them to do tshuva. So then we can save the city. But the tzaddikim feel secluded, they didn't feel comfortable with the city to the point they have to go into seclusion because of the immorality or that the city is doing. So then there's no way they're going to be able to make mashpia on the city, so then we have to destroy the city. So Roman is davening the chances of them for doing tshuva. Okay, so it's not just, you know, this rush of the Rishonim, but keep them anyway. I get that. But now, if you take your computer, you run your statistical data about what are the chances of them doing tshuva, not high. Right? We don't. If you take all of the Rishonim, which have walked the face of the earth, and how many of them have done tshuva? Some, not high. So if a Roman is just davening just based on the potential for tshuva, it's a silly kiddush. If a Roman was davening, he wants to save time. So it's an extraordinary moment. So let's start on this piece. This is a piece from the Tlio, on page 180 on the right, you know, the right side. So Chazal says, "Gdol ha'nasarchi me'akolus b'nei Hashchina." So the Rosh Hashanah, Rav Avinu is having some type of a interface with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, some level of Nevuah, whatever it is. It's Kabbalah Spenei Shekhinah. And he sees that there are Archim, and he tells the Baruch Hu, says, you know, wait, and I'm going to go get the Archim. So how do you... Think about that. That's a pale also. The Russian's presence is here. Right? You know, we'll make the scenario, you know, palatable, right? So Rav Moshe Feinstein shows up at your door and you're talking with him, and then you see that there's some Arabs down, you know, some coming. He said, Rav Moshe, would you mind waiting just a minute? I got to go take care of these Arabs. Like, really? You told Rav Moshe, wait. You wouldn't tell Rav Moshe, wait. You said, Rav Moshe, Rav Moshe, right? Right? So the Shekhinah is a little more chashev than Rav Moshe, right? Rav Moshe says, listen to the Shekhinah. You know, would you mind? I got to take care of something. Like, something really important, you know. I got to go take care of these three Arabs. So the Chartz Chil Hashem. So what's the pshat? So I'm going to go back to the rest of that paragraph in a second. I want to see the next paragraph. So I'm a Kenyan who sheikri kiddush Hashem who asoga apnimis abihira. The kiddush Hashem is not how people perceive us. That's not what kiddush Hashem is about. You know, we throw around the phrases. It's a kiddush Hashem when, you know, we do things which are respected, and therefore the Goyim respect Torah more. And we do something which causes disrespect. That's a Chil Hashem. That's true. It is a Gemara. The Gemara says that the Rechidon. The Gemara says, what's the example of Chil Hashem? Rechidon said, I, who is well known as a person of stature, if I would go and buy meat and not pay immediately, buying credit. It would be Chil Hashem. Why? Because people might think that I'm not really paying and I'm just trying to use my position and I'm not going to pay and I'm doing a Geneva. Obviously that's not true, but that's what people might think. That's a Chil Hashem. So there is a point of perception creates a Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem. But the truth is Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem means something other than that. So the Zohar says that the word Chil Hashem is related to the word Chalal. Chalal means a void. The Baruch Hu created the world. The Baruch Hu, in order that we should have Bechira, the Baruch Hu is everywhere. And we should perceive his reality everywhere to such a clarity that it's impossible to do an Aver. There's no Bechira. So the Baruch Hu, as it were, created a world where seemingly he's not there. So now we have a choice to decide whether he's there or not. And there's a Chalal which allows us to have Bechira. Chil Hashem is when you strengthen that Chalal. And Kiddush Hashem is when you inject the Kodesh Baruch Hu back into that Chalal. That's how the Zohar explains it. So Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem take place much more within your panemius of you than they take place necessarily in the guy standing by watching you. When I'm sitting in a situation where nobody sees me, nobody knows about it, and I'm tempted with an Avera, and I choose to do the right thing because I know the Baruch Hashem is here, I've injected the Kodesh Baruch Hu back into the Chalal. That's a Kiddush Hashem. And if I chose to live as if the Baruch Hashem is not there and ignore the reality of a Kodesh Baruch Hu and live as if the void is real, I've done a Chil Hashem. When I do it to other people, other people void a Kodesh Baruch Hu out of their lives, I've created a bigger Chil Hashem. But be aside of the Nakud of Kiddush and Chilul is in how much we're doing that. So what about the following situation? That I create a clarity on one level and I create a confusion on another level. So is that Kiddush Hashem or Chil Hashem? That's what Dester said. That's what's happening over here. That the Baruch Hashem will be willing, not just the Rav Avinu has problems with this time, the Baruch Hashem says very clearly, they were roi mechatayim l'Hashem tremendously. One of the pshatim on that the Rishonim say is l'Hashem ma'oid. Roi mechatayim l'Hashem ma'oid means they knew a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're there, everybody. That's the worst madrega of a Rasha. They know Kadosh Baruch Hu. They have a clarity of understanding Kadosh Baruch Hu. And they said, I don't care. We are going to rebel against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what did the Rav Avinu have problems with this time? The Rasha had problems with this time. He went, the pasuk says, Chatas Neim Amar Kirova, right? I'm going to see if they deserve to be destroyed. And Rav Avinu is asking Kadosh Baruch Hu to permit them to continue. So the Rav Avinu is asking Kadosh Baruch Hu to let people walk the face of the earth, which what they're going to do is undermine the service of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Sechil Hashem. Right? It's a damage to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So why should a Kadosh Baruch Hu agree to this? Sechil Hashem. Rav Avinu is bad, so I'm asking for Sechil Hashem. And the answer is that no, he's asking for the Sechil Hashem as well. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, which is like a really, again, it's a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says that Menashe, the Melech Yisrael, was a tremendous Rasha. Tremendous Rasha. He killed his own grandfather. His grandfather, Yeshayahu Navi. He killed Yeshayahu Navi. Menashe got his hand on every single Sefer Torah in Eretz Yisrael, and he cut out every place that says Hashem's name. He put the name of Avodah Zarah instead. And that's tremendous, depravity, a tremendous commitment to Avodah Zarah. He was a king for 55 years. After a period of time, 22 years, he was caught and he was taken and they took him to Babel and they put him in a big iron pot full of water, and they turned the fire on him underneath. They stoked the fire. So he was boiling to death. But they're going to boil him to death. So he started calling out to everybody's Zohar in the world. No answer. After calling to everybody's Zohar in the world that he knew of, he says, I remember when I was a little boy, my father taught me, when I went to Cheder, that when things go bad, shout out to Hashem Lekecha. So he calls out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachim were obviously incensed. I mean, the chutzpah is a chutzpah naira. After what he did, and then first he calls out to everybody around the world, and then he says, they didn't work. Okay, Rashi, I'm going to try you too. Right? So they closed every access point to Shemayim, the tefillah should go in, they closed. Comes Menashe and he says a chutzpah. He says, Abraham, if you don't save me, you're just like every other Avodah Zarah. They're the same. So they made the Malchim even more upset. Like, he mamash insulted Kadosh Baruch Hu. Abraham makes a chatira tachas kisei hakavod, he made like a tunnel under the Kisei HaKavod, whatever that means, to allow the tefillah to come in. And the Bereshit sent them Ruach, Sora, picked him out of the cauldron, brought him back to Eretz Yisrael, and he's Melech again for 33 more years. Chil Hashem, right? What was the argument? What was his argument? And why did it win? He said the Bereshit, Midas HaDin says, I don't deserve to be saved. No Shaila. After what I've done, and the way I daven right now, I don't deserve to be saved. But if you are limited by Midas HaDin, means there's something living in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Rishon's Rachamim is endless. His Chesed is endless. And when he limits it by Midas HaDin, he's making himself he's a limited being. So if you can't decide to save me above and beyond Midas HaDin, you're also limited. Then you're just like, you're better of Chasson, you're like a better of Avodah Zarah. But if you can save me, even though I don't deserve it any way, shape, or form, I mean, I'm the most undeserving person in the world, and you can still save me, that's a right that you're not limited at all. That's what Menashe said. Avraham Avinu was saying there's a Kiddush Hashem, that the Bereshit is such a meitiv, he's willing to be meitiv to people who don't deserve it. People who insult him. People who rebel against him. The Bereshit was willing to be meitiv to them also. So, will Storm understand that? Lav Davka. But Rav Avinu will understand that. And the pasuk says that the man Yisrael's bottom is Bnei Yisrael. The Baruch Hu will transmit that to his children. That the Baruch Hu's love for the world and for mankind and for Klal Yisrael is so overreaching and so overarching that there's nothing which can stop it. You can do the worst thing in the world, the Baruch Hu will still love you. That's the tremendous Kiddush Hashem. So what seems to be a Chil Hashem at one level, that he's allowing Stardom to continue to exist with all of its immorality and depravity, etc. At one level, it's a Chil Hashem. But on a higher level, in the panemius of the world, it's a tremendous statement of the godliness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for those who want to hear it. Okay. So, it's a ma'aseh, which is a chil Hashem, which with the result is a kiddush Hashem. Aloyim akinyan hu, shikra kiddush Hashem hu, yasaga panimi yasab behir, having that deep inner clarity, v'za'alim el yinyar, so that's a much higher madrega. V'nitcha min nizeh, chilo shab'alim atachtu mimenu. So down in this world is a chil Hashem. But in the higher levels of existence, all you see is the oras panim of a kiddush Baruch Hu. You don't see the toim of a stoim up there. You see how nice HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, his Oras Panim. Ki b'mabit elyon ha'oylam elyon ha'hu ein zechilo klal kishom yischashim rakim ha'primius, which means atachas. What was the result? Not atachas, dover meiv the Kiddush Hashem, hu batzo Kiddush Hashem. Okay. Now, go back. V'chein mash on him, the third line, the top line. Person's davening, he starts shuckling. So let's get this straight. You walk into a very, very chashuv of a king. A king with the power of life and death. You start saying, "King, king, king!" He says, "Get him out of here! Chop off his head! I'm a sugar guy." You stand in front of the king like this. The year in front of the king, you don't jump up and down, you don't scream, you don't dance, you don't sing, you don't move around your body like back and forth and up and down like this in front of the king. So what are we doing? Some weird things we do with davening, right?
It's a chil Hashem.
The answer is that on the physical level, yes, it is. Physical level, what we do in davening is not great. But it's able to allow us to touch into a panemius, a deeper clarity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that clarity which we have inside of ourselves of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we use this right, that's what it allows us to do. That's the Kiddush Hashem. Because we brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu back into our lives in a way which we would not have been able to do otherwise. Okay.
It's even worse. Avraham Avinu was keeping them alive. They should do more avers.
Right now the guy's got he's got 3 million avers and they're going to die. Avraham says no. Let's keep him here. Let's keep him here. Let him get another 6 million avers. It's not good for them. So there's 10 tzaddikim. There's thousands and thousands of rishoyim. It's pretty
low probabilities that he's going to make him do tshuva.
Can he raise some of Eris has to kill? So Avraham Avinu, by davening and potentially saving Sodom, he was davening for was more and more of Eris in the world. That's what he was davening for. So we have to assume. Tachil Hashem. He says the Zohar says that we refer to the pasuk says ki mei noach zersli, that the water is the water of Noach. So we blame Noach for the water, for the marble. So he should have davened for the door. Same kasha. So Noach says, "Like, what do you want from me? These people don't deserve to live. If they're going to live, they're going to keep doing averus. I'm not getting through to them. They're going to do averus.
they're going to commit a tremendous chil Hashem by getting away, as it were, with what they're doing. The Russian is finally saying, no, you're not going to get away with that anymore. I'm going to argue with that. They say, yeah, that's right. Alpi midas hadin, midas hatzadik, they deserve to die. Chazal, the Torah faults him. What did fault him? He said the right thing. Okay. There was an inner core of his being, there was a hargosha of being mated to others, not because of rachamim. A lot of times, why are we mated to somebody else? Because we feel merciful. When you are rachamim in somebody, it means that I see somebody's situation, I see how bad it is, I emote with that situation, and now that I emote with the situation, I want to do something about it. So deep down, there's some element of why I'm doing it is because I'm uncomfortable with that situation. I am uncomfortable with that situation. Not so much Reagan. I care about somebody else to the point I can feel their emotion. But there's some element which that makes it not lishmo. It's not about that I truly care, it's I'm uncomfortable. So I want to get rid of my discomfort. The same mice with the Ron Cutler. He was on to Eretz Yisrael. He was walking along, and Ani came to him and whatever asked him for stock, he gave him stock. Then, after the person had left, he told the barker, "Here, take some more money. Go give him some more." Uncharacteristically. So afterwards, when they came back, the barker said, "If the Rashiva doesn't mind, I'll just understand." So the first time I gave it to him because I saw how bad he looked. I just had Rachmanas. I felt uncomfortable to him. I wanted to make it better. So I don't like being in pain. I felt pain, so I wanted to make it better. So it was about me. The second time I thought about him and I gave it because of him, not because of me. Now, that much regular, I should feel the pain on somebody else to the point that I'm uncomfortable. A lot of us don't do that either. I'm not playing that down. That's a tremendous madriga. But there's a madriga beyond that. Right? So, at the beginning of this piece, he deals with the question of there's a famous Chalukah of Dester in the Chazon Ish. Rav Meir was sitting by the Pesach oil. He was searching for Arkham. Now, what did the Russian do? The Russian made the sun extremely hot to the point that nobody wanted to travel. Rav Meir was mitzvah, there's no Arkham. Now, if the purpose of Nosis Arkham is to take care of people's needs, it means nobody had needs. Everybody's home safely. They're home safe and sound in their own tents with whatever He wasn't giving out alms to poor people. He was taking care of travelers. There's no travelers. So Baruch Hashem, everybody's taken care of. So what's the Romano feeling bad about? So that's just his advice to Chayes, that the point of doing chesed is not because there's somebody out there who needs me and I have to care of it. And if nobody needs me, I say Baruch Hashem. I, as a human being a creation which tries to make myself like a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Russian was a Meitiv Be'etzim, that's who he is, I have to be a Meitiv Be'etzim also. That's the piece he's building up over here. Ramino comes along and says, over here, you can get, I'm so guaranteed that there's no Rachamim over here. I don't want to, because any other, there's no emotion which is making me do this. Because my emotions scream, get rid of that. Get rid of stuff. So what am I davening for? Because it's a Hatava to give. It's going to be a bad life because they're going to do bears with it, but it's life. That these people shall lose a chance of having chayim and maybe doing tshuva. Rav Avinu said they deserve to get that. I would do chesed for them to the point of endangering my own life, everyone says. And Chazal said that Rashi threatened him, if you keep fighting with me, you're going to lose your Elam Haba. Fine, but please save stuff. He's willing to fight with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, as it were. And he asked Mechila, void kishishu b'risham b'chatzasam elo yifriu loy b'fotzes amun atar b'avodas achesed shaloy. And he thought of people which are going to be the antithesis of him, and they're going to actually, through their presence and their attitudes, etc., they're going to undermine him. They're going to be fighting against his approach of chesed. He had a tremendous desire of to give them something of value, life. So that was Poyel that the Bershom responded in kind and said, listen, if I can find any way to make it work, I'll make it work. Ten tzaddik. Okay, I'll make that work too. Okay, so that was a gili of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's chesed. The gili chesed kazesh, a Kodesh Baruch Hu's chesed, chinam af l'chotei. So that in the place that really counts, we saw Kodesh Baruch Hu being made to a person who was a chayte, it's so powerful, that clarity in the upper olam, not just in the physical expression of it. Is that what you do down here? It seems to be that it's negative. If the overall understanding of this thing is going to be much more positive on a higher level, it's worth it. Abominus is not diamond for light. He said, why not? That's the next piece. Okay. There's a mice that revolver brings. And that there was a person named Peretz Smolenskin. Peretz Smolenskin was one of the Maskilim. They had Maskilim in Europe. They called themselves Maskilim. They were people who were anti-Torah. And they wrote, they had newspapers, and they wrote articles, and they spoke, and they pushed. Their goal was to take people away from Yiddishkeit, from being frum. To the point, they went and used the government, etc., to push it, stamp out Yiddishkeit. Okay. The Maisa Rebbe brings that he heard it from Rebbe Ruchim. Rebbe Ruchim was a Talmud. Rebbe Ruchim of the Mir was a Talmud of the Alter von Kelm. Rebbe Ruchim said over the following. He said that the Alter von Kelm was such a tzaddik, and had such purity, that on Shabbos he was a very physically weak person. He walked around always very sallow looking, wiped out, etc. And Shabbos, he looked invigorated. His countenance was actually pink. It was a physical manifestation of Shabbos in his being. One Shabbos, it didn't happen. And like nobody knew why. Like what happened? Why he looked, the Alter von Kelm looked like it was a weekday. And the way he deported, the way he looked, everything was, nothing had changed. So sometime towards the end of Shabbos, the Alter von Kelm gave a krechs. He said, why? And I said, they said, right, but he said, because this Peretz Smolenskin passed away. It was right before Shabbos. I heard about it. I pictured the neshama of a yid, when it leaves the body, has the clarity. And the neshama is such extraordinary pain of how it used its life, not only not to do mitzvahs, and to learn Torah, but to convince people and to take people away from Torah. That's what this person had done. And the Shabbos is in such pain from what it realizes now, I just couldn't feel Shabbos. That's what the Alter said. How would we react to that? I mean, how do we react to that? See, if a person which is known to be anti-Yiddishkeit, he's anti-Israel, he's anti-everything. He hears in a car accident and he passed away. Say, okay, that's sad. But I'm so happy it's gone finally. I don't have to deal with him anymore. Right? That's the angle that, you know, we would approach it. So Peretz Smolenskin was one of the main leaders. His goal was to eradicate Yiddishkeit from Klal Yisrael. Can there be any more valid fight than that? No. He's an apikoris, and he's the chotem machte. He's taking people away from Yiddishkeit. He's been the source of it. He's been the problem. And finally, he's dead. He's not going to do it anymore. Clap, clap, clap. And I said, you know what? I got a pasuk that I'm right. Bavod Rishar Mina. Pasuk says, Bavod Rishar Mina. When the Rishar Mina destroyed Rina, we sing. He said, let's dance. And Nalta Kalam says, you know, I'm not dancing. As a matter of fact, I'm the total opposite. I'm in pain. I'm in such pain that I can't even feel Shabbos, not like every other Shabbos. Because I'm feeling the pain of the neshama. So, A, you see a tremendous level of sensitivity. B, you see that we have no right to write off any person as a rush or whatever it is. There's still a tremendous kayach of toiv in the person, by Yid at least for sure. But if you can imagine, this is Avraham Avinu. This is like the legacy of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was time, was Peretz Smolenskin times 10,000. Right? There was no Torah established. You're establishing it. You're creating a message. And there's 10,000 people living down the block which are going against your message. They're destroying your message. And you could just walk away. You didn't do anything. Just walk away. They will die. He said, no, I want them to live. You think about it. The godless of Avraham Avinu, the Torah is not like that, but I believe that surpasses the occasion. That maybe I'm depraved. It must be why. Like I can't imagine this. I can't imagine doing it. And again, okay, you know what? You hear the, you know, you say a prayer for them, you know, that they should be zayich to tshuva. You know, the person should save them. Yitzchak Avinu. One time, two times, and each time he realizes the Bersha was not happy with him, and he has to make, you know, mechila, you know, like this way, that way, you know that I'm not worthless. It's not my, you know, but yeah, but I still need to, you know, like, wow, he doesn't lose up. But the midas chesed is mechayev that, the true midas chesed is to be made to somebody who doesn't deserve it. True midas chesed is to be made to somebody who's not only they don't deserve it, that they are undermining what you're doing. And the chesed that you're doing is going to, as it were, facilitate that you should continue to undermine what you're doing. And that's true chesed. Chabad Chaim brings that I'm not sure who was with him. Might have been Reb Tarfon. I think it was Reb Tarfon. Brings a medrash that one time Reb Tarfon went away, and he told the family, you know, that while he's away, they should keep up his you know, stalk everything that he's doing. So he comes back a little bit and says, you know, did anything happen? He said, yeah, there was a person who really didn't have any food, didn't have anything. We brought him in, and we gave him food, everything like that. And he much praised you to Shammai. It's like an agartah. There's no good reward for that one. A little while later, he had to go away again. Again, while he was away, somebody came and they fed them, etc. Says, came back, did anything happen? He said, yeah, this fellow came, and he cursed you out, and he called your names, and he insulted you, and we, you know, and you don't do enough, you don't care, and we took care of him, and he left. So, now there's good reward for that. All right. The fellow sat there and besmirched me every which way, and I still did chesed to him. That's the chiddush of chesed. The person does not deserve it. The person deserves the opposite. But you're being meitiv because the Baruch Hu created an haga of being meitiv to the Bria, and he's meitiv to the Bria, and you want to be like a Baruch Hu, you're meitiv to the Bria. Why? Because you get zero reward for it. You get the opposite of reward. It's a famous mitzvah with the Chassam Sofer that some person turned on him tremendously. He says, I can't remember what chesed I did for him, that why he would want to turn against me like this. Now, so you're saying that there's a thought process out there that the more you're nice to somebody, the more eventually they're going to turn against you. It's like, I remember what I did so nice to them, they deserve to get this type of the type of negative reaction, you know. But you do chesed because chesed is the right thing to do. Chesed, that because you have become a person who's Metzias is taking care of others and helping them, not because you get good feedback, not because makes you feel good about yourself. And male, I feel like I'm such a tzaddik because, you know, I'm doing nice things. And the person who make it difficult, the person's going to. So a place where you, and I grapple with this, is Mishalochim. Right? So, most of them come. They're sweet people. There's clearly a need, whether for themselves or for some type of organization, whatever they're coming for. They're also going around. Some of them, you know, are getting paid for it a little bit. But the baker, you know, you say, I wish I could give more, but this is what I can afford. The other thing, thank you very much. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Everything you give is wonderful, etc. Then you get the guy who pushes your buttons. He says, you know, would you mind giving me three months post-dated checks? You know, I can't really afford to do that, you know, because I have all this. Come on, it's not so much, you know, like, you know. And it's such an important thing. You don't care about it? Like, what are you talking about? You don't care about these other things? Of course you want to do it. It's such a wonderful talk. You know, it makes you feel guilty to the wazoo, right? Now, you have to decide what the right thing to do is. But then when the guy finally give him the check that you can afford, the fellow gives you the scowl and he leaves, you don't feel good about yourself. You feel horrible. But you did chesed. You did chesed without any positive feedback, without any support system saying, you know, pat you on the back, you're such a wonderful tzaddik, you're so nice because you do chesed. You do chesed because you do chesed. Even though it's uncomfortable, even though the person you're doing chesed is the person making you uncomfortable. Right? That's what he's saying. That's such a kiddush Hashem, because that's such a clarity of understanding what the world is about, what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is about. That even though it's seemingly you become a facilitator, you're codependent, right? And this guy, you're helping him, you know, be an insulter of people. So it's really your chrys to stop insulting him, make sure that you teach him a lesson. You know, if you be his wife, I hear that. Maybe, you know. You see him once, you're going to see him once a year, or maybe once in a lifetime. You're not going to change him. So I'm talking about this. My only kavanah is just I want to teach him. I just want to help him, right? And because you were insulted, and you felt bad, and that's not why I do it. You know, come on, honestly, you do it because the person made you feel bad. So that's not a reason why you give somebody mussar. If you talk, believe that you can get, okay, we'll talk about that, right? But most scenarios, if you be honest with yourself, that's not the issue. The issue is, this guy, my hard-earned money, I worked hard, he looks like he's a boy's dwarf, just stepping around asking for the thing, and he makes me feel guilty. I'll show him. You know, I'm not going to give him anything. Or, you know, I'll give it to him, and he doesn't. We have to restrain our thought process of why we're giving stuck, why we're doing chesed. You do it for the people in the neighborhood, you know. Listen, we've all had that experience. We did a chesed for somebody. The person was asking, like, why don't you do more? You know, that was voluntary. I don't have to do anything if I didn't want to. But, you know, like, why do you do it this way? You weren't thinking. It would be better to do it this way. You know, like, what are you thinking about? What were you thinking? Like, what's wrong with you? And what's wrong with you? You weren't there being made to Baklal. Now, Lachar Maish, you tell me I should have done it better. Like, she should have been there. Like, that's what we're thinking. So you know what? They said, like, well, you know what? I'm done. I'm not going to do this again. I don't know what I need this for. Uh-huh. So it means the reason why we do chesed is because we feel good about it. If we don't feel good about it, we don't want to do chesed. We got it wrong. That's the point they're saying. You know, if you don't mind, I'm going to hold it here.